This is Pat Bodie, host of 900 Views. I hope you'll enjoy this podcast that was recorded before the coronavirus slowdown. Coming to you by way of the not-for-profit Mainframe Studios at 900 KOA in downtown Des Moines, this is 900 Views, a podcast about building community through the arts as we build an arts community. I'm your host, Pat Bodie, and today I'm a little south of Mainframe at the offices of developer Justin Mandelbaum of Mandelbaum Properties. Justin founded Mainframe Studios. Prior to returning to his native Des Moines, Justin spent serious time in Japan and out east, where he was co-founder of Vespera Investments, a real estate development firm that focused on socially and environmentally conscious community developments. The concept for Mainframe stems from a for-profit venture Justin helped launch when he was with Vespera, Western Avenue Studios and Lofts of Lowell, Massachusetts. That complex currently supports more than 300 artists and makers. More than 70 artists currently find a community at Mainframe, with more on the way. And Mainframe is not Justin's only community contribution. He has Des Moines' next Skyline project in the works, a residential, commercial, and cultural 40-floor tower dubbed The Fifth, reflecting its downtown location. Justin was named one of the Des Moines Register's people to watch last year. And so, Justin, when the Register named you one of the people to watch, their headline said, "Meet the Iowan trying to make Des Moines as culturally hip as Austin, Portland, or Nashville." Is that a fair description of what you're trying to do?
Well, first, thanks, Pat, for having me today. I thought that headline was a little weird.
Why do you say that? Oh. What's wrong with being culturally hip?
I wasn't trying to, we're not trying to make Des Moines a Portland or an Austin or a Nashville. I think it's important for Des Moines to have its own identity. And what I was trying to convey to the Register is that I'm interested in doing projects that makes Des Moines a more exciting place to live and to attract talent.
And so what do you see as Mainframe's contribution to making Des Moines a more exciting place to live and attract talent?
Sure. So when I first moved back to Des Moines about 10 years ago, I took a look at the cultural landscape and thought, okay, well, we have top-notch art center for a city of our size, world-class sculpture park, award-winning art festival, got the Civic Center bringing in all these shows, Bravo supporting all these great organizations. And to me, I felt like the missing link was creating permanent, affordable workspace for artists. And I believe that for a city to be attractive from an arts perspective, we need to support our local artists. And, I looked across the country and artists had been priced out of Manhattan and went to Brooklyn and priced out of Brooklyn and went to cities like Portland and Austin and are getting priced out of those cities every day. And I thought that it was important that we created something in Des Moines to ensure that artists never get priced out.
Now, is that why the not-for-profit aspect of it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So what we found is with our nonprofit in particular is if we can raise the funds up front to pay for the building and pay for the build out, then going forward, we never have to raise funds again. Combined with a nonprofit status, our financially self-sustaining business model ensures that we will never have pressure to sell our building to a condo developer or someone who will want to convert it to a different use.
So maybe that's why when I looked up this Western Avenue Studios and Lofts, I had expected it to not necessarily be very successful. I thought maybe that in your past experience, the for-profit version had not been that successful. It looks like it's going gangbusters. So that's not it. Is it that it's almost maybe too successful for the future, or what's happening there?
So I think it depends on your view of success, right? So from the community standpoint and from the artist standpoint, it's a very successful building. It's one of the largest concentration of artists under one roof probably in the country. The artists have taken upon themselves to do monthly open studio events. It's a big event, you know, every month. Lowell has an annual open studios weekend where that building is obviously the focal point of it. From that perspective, it's great. But we ran into some very real challenges about 12 years ago where we had to upgrade the life safety systems and replace the roof in the building. And so we were faced with a handful of choices. Those items cost like $1.5 million. So our choices were, do you raise the rents and price out most of the artists in the building? Do you try to re-tenant the building with credit tenants that you can get a mortgage on and finance the improvements? Do you sell the building to someone who would do either of those, or do you eat those costs? And those are the challenges that these for-profit owners of arts buildings face, right? I mean, look at Art 316. That was an artist studio building for like 17 years. And I'm quite certain the owner of that building made no money on it when there were artists in there. And so when the opportunity comes to convert it to apartments, you know, a reasonable person would take that opportunity. And so our situation in Massachusetts illustrates the very real pressures that these for-profit owners have when they're trying to provide affordable workspace to artists. We had made a commitment of affordable art space to our tenants. Some of our tenants became our friends, so we weren't really comfortable doing anything that would harm the artist. My partner and I ended up splitting. He went back to the real estate private equity fund where we came from. The owner of that fund was a billionaire, and he put $1.5 million into the building and basically saved it.
Yeah.
Now, my former partner has a heart of gold, and you know he's trying to convert it into a nonprofit. But when you're that far along and your ask to donors is, hey, donate money to me so I can pay off my mortgage and convert it to a nonprofit, that's a very hard ask.
So you had to start as a nonprofit here.
Yeah. And my guess is in Massachusetts, my former partner will probably pay off the mortgage over time and convert it to a nonprofit himself in 15 or 20 years. But, you know, that's pretty rare in the industry. And that's why we see so many artist studio buildings get converted. And so when I came to Des Moines, I thought, well, what we did in Massachusetts was good. It would have been great if we just started as a nonprofit from the beginning.
Now, are there any downsides to this nonprofit structure?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest downside is things take a really long time, right? I mean, in Massachusetts, we were converting that building into studios basically as quickly as we could build them out. As a nonprofit, you know, your biggest challenge is fundraising. Right, I mean, we can't just go to a bank and get all the money. So it's been a long process. We had a tough time finding the building. That took 4 years, basically. Then we had to raise money initially to get the first few floors built, which took some time. We opened up in 2017, and now we're in the second phase of fundraising right now.
And you're having some good luck with some of that. So tell me a little bit about what's on tap for 2020 and beyond in terms of the development of the spaces.
So we've renovated 3 out of 5 floors to date. We got 2 more floors to go. That'll bring on another 110 to 120 artist studios. We've been in a fundraising campaign. We've recently had some huge success that we'll be announcing in the next couple weeks. And that will enable us to complete the build out of the building probably within the next year or so.
When you look at Mainframe and its role in the community, how do you see it playing out over time? Do you see it as kind of the linchpin or just a small piece of a mix? Tell me a little bit about its role overall and, again, kind of projecting.
Well, it's tough to predict the future, but what I would hope will happen is that this building gives recognition to artists who have otherwise been overlooked. You know, when we did our initial demand survey a number of years ago, we had well over 420-some artists fill out the survey. And to me, the most interesting part of it was 80% of those artists worked out of their homes or had no studios. So unless they're in a local art festival or in a coffee shop or maybe a gallery, you know, they just had a tough time getting out into the public and letting people know that they exist and that they have, you know, art that they'd like to show and probably sell as well. So I hope our building can give recognition to those artists, get them more out into the public. I hope that our building has open studio events that turn into a farmer's market of art that's as well known as a farmer's market, where everyone knows you come to Mainframe on the first Friday from 5 to 8 p.m. before you go out to dinner. And, you know, maybe we'll have a second open studio event each month that ties into the farmer's market on a Saturday during the day. And then I hope that by firmly establishing the presence of local artists in town, that the artists take it upon themselves to make Des Moines, you know, even better. And I could see...
Hipper?
It's not a word I usually use, but that probably works. You know, so further developing our mural culture, I'd like to see the skywalks transform into an immersive art experience, and maybe some local artists could take lead on that. You know, doing simple things like painting our utility boxes, those kind of things.
So that we ultimately become a town extremely well known for the visual arts in particular?
Either way. I mean, I think it all goes hand in hand. You know?
So tell me a little bit about this. Your Western Avenue Studios and Lofts and Mainframe. We've talked about for-profit versus nonprofit, but one's been around a while and had 275,000 square feet renovated. The other's been around a lot less long. Do a compare and contrast for me. How are we measuring up in terms of this bar that you yourself kind of helped set out there in Lowell, Massachusetts? Are we on the right trajectory?
No one's asked me that question before. Yeah, no, I think we're definitely on the right trajectory. And, you know, both projects are great in their own right. I'm partial to what we're doing at Mainframe Studios because of the nonprofit business model that we have, where I'm confident that as long as people continue to make art, our building is going to be around for generations and generations and generations to come. First of all, it's built a lot better than the building in Massachusetts. It's a concrete bunker.
It's the old CenturyLink building for people unfamiliar.
Yeah, so it's not going anywhere. And we have a nonprofit structure that's going to ensure that it'll be around forever. And, you know, ultimately, you know, in our business model, we're building up an endowment to the tune of $100,000 a year. So it'll be really interesting in 20, 30, 40 years from now, what else the building can do for the community with those funds. From an operation standpoint, you know, you have to understand the building in Lowell was a total side project for us. That was not our main business. We were hands-off owners, really took it upon the artists or looked upon the artists to really manage the building, certainly do the open studio events, do the website. I mean, we were hands-off landlords that really had nothing to do with any of that. At Mainframe, you know, we've taken a more intentional approach. So we have a director, Siobhan Spain, that's doing an excellent job on all fronts. So the building's more professionally managed, I would say. She does a particularly great job with the open studio events, where she has a theme each month to keep it interesting. We have a much better website, and really to have a professional manager who can help promote our artists, I think brings the artist a lot of value that maybe Massachusetts otherwise wouldn't have.
If you had this to do over again, this launching of the Mainframe not-for-profit art studios, would you?
Yeah. There's been a lot of times where I've asked myself that same question. It's not an easy path. You know, we've been working on this literally for over 10 years. We have another year and a half to go before we're fully renovated and occupied. this is a total labor of love for me. So we donated all of our construction management, development services, property management oversight. All my time is donated. We don't charge overhead or anything to the nonprofit. So it's definitely taken its toll on me, on my family, on the other projects that I'm trying to do. But I think when it's all said and done, I'll look back and say, yeah, definitely, I'd do it again.
Why this labor of love? Why this piece about the arts in this way?
I think a couple reasons. So one, my family has a deep history in Des Moines. You know, my great-great-grandfather came here over 150 years ago. And when I was looking for a place to move to 10 years ago, I was really looking at Des Moines in the sense of, you know, we have deep roots here and it's a place where, you know, I can make an impact and have a connection to my personal history as well. And for this project in particular, I joke with Siobhan that is a sense of duty because, you know, I went through, a lot of painful lessons in Massachusetts and recognized that if we do it as a nonprofit, this is something that really works. You know, I think the business model is totally solid. Not too many nonprofits can say that they don't have to raise money ever again going forward. And it's a very simple business model, and really it works in any city that has big empty buildings because there's artists everywhere. And so I thought this would be something that I know a little bit about and would be a way for me to get back to my community.
Is there anything you do differently in the launch or in getting this off the ground?
I don't know. I mean, like I said, fundraising has been the biggest challenge. You know, would I have loved to have more money lined up before we got into it? Yes. You know, it's not easy to do. So,
has it been harder to fundraise now that it's out of the chute and happening, or easier? I would think that would be, I don't know how that would play.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to it. You know, our initial thought was if we could renovate 3 out of 5 floors and get prospective donors into the building, that'd make it easier so they can see the dream in action and get a couple years of operations under our belt. But I've also gotten feedback from the community that, hey, you know, 3 out of 5 floors is really good. You got the open studio events are great. You're getting 1,000 people to the events. So, yeah, if you did 2 more floors, it would be even better. But 3 floors is really good and maybe good enough. And maybe other organizations are more deserving of our dollars.
What do you see as the benefits of fleshing out those other 2 floors?
I mean, that's the key to get to the financially self-sustaining aspect of our organizations. Right now, we operate at a deficit. We have to raise money to cover that operating loss every year, just like most nonprofits do. If we can do 1 more floor, we're basically break even. If we can do 2 more floors, we're building up our reserve fund and an endowment. So for me, it's of critical importance to get those next 2 floors open as quickly as possible.
And I would imagine the sky's potentially the limit on the services that could be provided to artists and therefore the community if this was churning constantly and not something you had to actually raise money for every year.
Yeah, and I think that'll be something that the next president of the organization can take a big lead on. You know, for us, it's important. Since our mission is to provide permanent, affordable workspace for artists, our number one goal is making sure that we keep our rents low, which means keeping our staff low. You know, I don't see this becoming an organization where we're providing weekly programming for our artists. We'd love to be a forum where other people can come in and give seminars and that kind of thing. But really, the only programming that we do is the monthly open studio events. And then we look to our artists to do their own programming.
Before we conclude, I really wanted to hear a little bit about the Fifth. I know you're incorporating arts in the Fifth. I wanted to hear a little bit about what that building's going to have artistically and how important it is to you that it has it.
Yeah, so, you know, art is obviously something that we're passionate about. And I think for anyone in business or really any aspect of life, it's important to follow your passion, right? Because if you're doing things that you don't enjoy, you're not going to be a happy person. And we like art. We stumbled upon a hotel called 21C Museum Hotels that they say they design their hotels for art. They don't use art as decoration.
Sweet. And,
the hotel company started in Louisville in the early 2000s, where a couple wanted to get their art collection out into the public and wanted to revitalize the downtown that they lived in. So they created a hotel with art museum on two floors, a high-end restaurant, and 90 hotel rooms. It really took off, and then they turned it into a company. So we were able to contact them. As you can imagine, Des Moines was not on their list of potential hotels.
Why not?
They were looking at larger markets, right? And while Des Moines has received a lot of recognition, I'm not sure how wide that recognition is. And so we visited the company, toured several of their hotels, and instantly fell in love with what they were doing and the people. They're just fantastic people to work with. And, we were then able to bring them to Des Moines. And, as you know, once people come to Des Moines, the city sells itself. So it was relatively easy to get them signed up at that point. So we'll have a hotel at the bottom that'll have a contemporary art museum that'll be open for free to the public 7 days a week, and then apartments above.
And the parking garage itself is going to be a bit of an art institution.
Yeah, so we're working on that. We have some challenges to get over with the city, which I'm confident we can. But the way that we look at it is, the parking garage is big, and there's a big facade that's essentially 100 feet tall by 200 feet wide that is a massive canvas for something. And so we've teamed up with Yoram Mavorak, who is the artist who did the projection on the World Food Prize building about a year and a half ago. He's really a fantastic artist and a fantastic person. And, we showed him some designs by an artist who's done garages all across the world that are highly regarded. And we said, we want to do better than this. And I think he's come up with something that could make this one of the more exciting garages out there.
Can you describe it at all, or is that too difficult to do, or is it too much in flux?
No, it's not too much in flux. So imagine a series of windmills that are about 6.5 feet wide in diameter. We'll have about 450 of them all in a row. They will turn with the wind, and all of them will turn differently depending on how the wind blows. The windmills will be designed in a translucent material where light can shine through them into the garage and project colors into the garage. We wanted the art to be interesting from inside the garage and outside of the garage. Then in the middle of each windmill, and then in the middle between each set of four windmills, will be a light. So we'll have about 1,000 lights that Yoram can program to do, whatever his imagination dreams of.
This sounds to me like it'll be have a significant impact on how people perceive Des Moines. Is that a fair assessment?
I think our hope is for it to be an iconic piece of public art.
And so what do you see as the impact of an iconic piece of public art on our city over time?
So a couple things. I think it inspires the community to take a fresh look at art, to become more interested in art, and I think that just feeds upon itself, a catalyst in a way, just like the Sculpture Park has been. I think it also helps Des Moines become a little bit more of a tourist destination. We're really close to becoming a tourist destination because of all of our art offerings. And I think everything that we do between the hotel, the garage, Mainframe Studios, just gets us that much closer. And, you know, I think the ultimate goal, right, is for Des Moines to be widely recognized as a city that supports the arts.
Well, it sounds to me like you have done an awful lot to move us down that path, and you've also got yourself a village working with you to do it as well.
Yeah, I would say that there's been a lot of work that's been done before we started doing these projects, and a lot of people helping with these projects, in particular, you know, Siobhan Spain, our director at Mainframe Studios,
who,
if anything, is single-handedly turning that building to what it is today.
What she's doing at Mainframe is phenomenal, and all of the artists there and their level of participation is welcoming. One last question. What do the artists say to you when you walk through the halls at Mainframe Studios?
Yeah, I try to keep my head low. I don't even know if all the artists know me at Mainframe Studios, but those who do are just very thankful for the opportunity. You know, a lot of them, like I said, were working out of their homes or maybe working out of a building that got converted into something else. And they know that at Mainframe Studios, the studio will always be there for them and will always be affordable.
Well, thank you very much for all your contributions to the community, to the arts. It's very meaningful. And you mentioned it earlier, but I always like to remind folks of those First Friday events at Mainframe Studios. Don't miss it. 900 Keo Way. This is Pat Bodie with 900 Views. Thanks for listening. And I also want to give a shout out, not just to Siobhan Spain, also to Alex Cooney, who edits this thing. Thank you very much.